If you'd open up to Mark 9:23, we're going to begin there. But you know we're not going to end there. We're not a one-scripture church. We're an all-scripture church. If it's in the Word, that's what we do. If it's in the Word, that's what we do. What if it's not in the Word? Well, we don't do that. Or if we do do it, well, we stop doing it. I'm convinced more and more that the closer we get to what God said in His written Word and in the Spirit, we will be that much closer to His kingdom manifest on this earth as it is in heaven. Right? His Word is forever established where? In heaven. Forever established. How would you like to be forever established? Or would you just like your little life just to kind of go away? How about this church? Maybe, you know, it'll bloom and prosper for a year and a half. And then after that, nobody ever heard of it. No, we're here to establish something permanent. And if it's permanent, it has to be established where? In your mind, brother. No, in the Spirit. It's got to be established in the kingdom of heaven. And I've already told you, we are on the radar with this church. I'm convinced of it. I know it. How do you know it? Because I know it. Quit asking all those questions. Interrupting me. We're on the radar. God's watching you. He's looking at you and He's saying, huh, I'm going to watch this girl. I'm going to watch this guy. Seems like they got something going on here, and then we're gonna keep pushing in, and God watches, and He's gonna start cranking it up on us, people. Are you ready for it, though? Are you ready for it? I hope you're ready for it, because it's gonna radically change your life. You will be radically altered. You won't care about anything else anymore. You really won't. You'll be like a drug addict. And you won't care about anything except your next fix. And you know where to get it, and it's in the Word, and it's in the Holy Ghost, and it's at church, and it's doing the things that God has for you. That's where you want to be, and it seems like everything else you just could care less about, which you used to care a lot about, but you don't care about it anymore. God has that effect on you, doesn't He? He like takes the inhibitions right out of you, too. I never thought I'd be up front dancing in front of everybody, twirling around like a ding-dong. But there you are, twirling around. You aren't even thinking about it anymore because you could care less what Bubba thinks and his sister and his mother-in-law. Right? You could care less. Especially when the Holy Ghost gets on you. Who do you want to please? Who are we here to please? Myself? No. I could care less. We're here to please the Holy Ghost. And when you get that straight, you will start walking really close to His Word. Because it's what you know He's already said. He's not going to say more to you if you don't have what He already said to you. Keith Moore said that, I remember. He was like, God, speak to me. Why haven't I had an open vision of a burning bush? All these other people have an open visions of Jesus come, sitting in their living room, or eating dinner with them or whatever. Tell them exactly what's going on. Well, I want one of those. I want one of those. And God clearly spoke to him and said, well, when you finish getting what I've already written to you, then maybe I'll give you something else. Has everybody got everything out of the written Word of God yet? You've got it all sucked dry. There's nothing left in there. I don't think so. Every time you open it up, it oozes some more. And you're like, man, I haven't seen that before. You're going to see some of that tonight. Why? Because I saw some things that I'd never seen before. And when I do, I share them. Like I said, that's why I get the big bucks. Hallelujah. Well, you there? Mark 9:23. I'm excited about this. You guys don't know where we're going, but I do. And that's why I'm excited. It's going to be good, though. The end is always good. Did you know we talked about repentance last week? Was that good? It's good. You'd think repentance would be bad. No, repentance is good. It's really part of the good news. You get to repent. It would be bad news if you couldn't repent. That would be really bad. Look at this gospel, how great it is. All this wonderful stuff for you. Too bad you can't repent and receive it. That's bad news. The gospel's the good news. That means you get to repent and believe the gospel, the good news. But repentance comes first. Right? Did you repent today? All right. Did you wake up and go, I repent. Hallelujah. From anything I thought in my sleep that I didn't even know about. Because I don't remember it. I'm sorry. Repent and believe. They go together. I don't know why. You know, we need to keep those things. Jesus put them together. He told the disciples to go out and preach the gospel, to repent and believe the gospel. They go together. Let's keep them together. Not once. Well, I repented once. And now I'm ready to believe. No, keep repenting. Keep staying right there with your ground all nice and firm and fertile, and glory be to God. So those, when you believe, those seeds go right down in there. Soft, nutritious soil. Just what the seeds want. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And God will make it grow. He's the one. He gives the increase. We don't need to know how, but we need to know how to repent. We don't need to know how to make the seed grow, because we can't do that anyway. That's His job, and it's growing. All right. As long as you're there, I'm going to pray. You ready? Father, in Jesus' name, Fredola Bengdaska, Etebla Hotenteba Hangsvant, I'm asking you to grab a hold of these people and shake them. Let them hear your word. Let them know that your word comes forth from the throne of God and shakes their life and rearranges them. Don't let them go in any other direction, Father. Put those blinders on them like you'd put on a horse. Put them right on them so that they can see only your word and your path and plan for their life. And yea, says the Lord, it shall be great. You have yet to even see the things that I've called for you. So as you step forth into my word and my glory, new days will dawn, new days will dawn, and it'll just be greater and greater and better, says the Lord, and you will be my precious people to the end. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory be to God forever. Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Well, that's you, sister. All things are possible to you. Except for, no, there was no exception there, was it? If you can believe for it, you can have it. He's writing out a blank check. There you go. Take this blank check. If you can believe for it, you can have it. How much do you want? Where do you want to go with this? We're talking about faith and healing. So if somebody wants healing for, I don't care what it is. Baldness. Right? I would imagine that'd be a healing thing, right? But it doesn't. He didn't even qualify it there with healing. I'm talking about healing, but it doesn't qualify it with that. He says, whatever you can believe for, you can have. Obviously, it has to be in line with his word. Well, I'm going to believe for 7 wives, brother. Well, that's just stupid. Who would do that? So it's got to be in line with wisdom, too. 400 kids. Yeah, you better get in agreement with your wife on that one. Hallelujah. There's other people involved. But if it comes in line with the word and the promises of God, all the promises of God are yes. Yes. And amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, this is fun. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So, what if you can't believe? We started this out with saying that's the first biggest problem. If you can't believe for something, then you can't have it. This is where God qualifies it. If you can believe for it, you can have it. If you don't believe for it, too bad, you can't have it. Sorry. So, the biggest hindrance to healing, for most people, is unbelief. We saw that in Nazareth. Jesus could there do no mighty work because of their marvelous unbelief. He marveled at their unbelief. It was marvelous. So well developed. So mature. That's mature unbelief. Like a fine wine of unbelief. We don't want that, do we? Spill that junk out and put something new in there. Belief. So unbelief is what your problem is, then belief is the answer to it. And Jesus fixed them by teaching them. He went around teaching them. You guys still here? Psalms 66:18. One of the biggest things that causes unbelief is sin. And what's one of the biggest sins? Unbelief. We've been down this trail and we established this, that unbelief is sin. Actually, the children of Israel were kept out of going into the promised land because of what? Unbelief. It was the sin that kept them out. Obviously here, we just read the scripture that says, if you can believe, all things are possible to you. So what's keeping you out of the possibility? Not believing. So unbelief, the sin of unbelief, is what keeps the manifestation away from you. If it's healing that you're desiring, you must believe that you receive it, and then you'll have it. Unbelief will keep it from you. Okay? So we're going to attack this doggy. Pull all the teeth out of it. Until unbelief doesn't bother us anymore. The sin of unbelief. Did you find that yet? Psalm 66 and verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Yes, that's just for you, brother. No, that's for everybody. If you regard iniquity in your heart, right? This is in your Bible? If you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. Is that a problem? It's a big problem, especially when you're praying to Him and believing Him for something. Iniquity. One of the biggest iniquities. Unbelief. There are others, and we could all name a bunch of them, but we don't need to, because I'm telling you, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So it's the unbelief that keeps you out of the possibility. Hallelujah. John 5:14. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you. We went down here and we talked about how this man was forgiven his sins. Jesus healed him to prove that his sins were forgiven. How did sickness come into the earth? Through sin. So if Jesus removed the sin, what had to go with it? The result of the sin, which was sickness. Then Jesus finds him and he says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. So do we have some Bible evidence here that maybe if somebody sins, sickness could come on them? Is that a possibility? Now, I'm not saying if you got some sickness on you, it's because what you sinned, or the specific thing that you sinned. That just came into the earth through Adam. And that's the sin that Jesus removed, as well as all your sin. But it is possible for you to sin and cause a sickness to come on you. We understand that, right? What's the disease that attacks the liver if somebody drinks too much? Psoriasis? No. Cirrhosis. Cirrhosis of the liver. You could have some of that if you wanted it. All you have to do is drink enough. And we know that drinking too much would be considered a sin in most church circles, and probably even here. We don't encourage that. But it is a self-inflicted disease, you understand. Sickness inflicted by yourself. Do we understand that? Okay? Jesus said, sin no more, lest a worse thing. So what is he saying? The good side of this is, if he doesn't sin anymore, does sickness have a right to come on him? Are you here? Okay? If you're not sinning, sickness has no right to come on you, because that's what Jesus just said to this man. We think, oh, brother, that's a bad thing for him to say. Sin no more, lest the worst. No, that's good news. If I stop sinning and I don't sin anymore and I don't go down those trails that I used to go down, sickness can't come on me anymore. Did he say that? Or am I making this up? All right. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. Hallelujah. All right. 1 Corinthians 11:31. And I hope you're ready for this. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Hold on. What did we just say? If we clean the sin out of our life, sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you. If we judge ourselves and keep the sin out of our life, does sickness have a right to be in your body? According to the Word of God. No, it doesn't. It doesn't have a right to be there. It's looking for a right to be there. But it has no right. And you're the one, according to this scripture, that has the ability to judge yourself so that you're not judged. How many of you know that sickness is a form of judgment at times? Now, I really hate to go down this trail because usually it takes too long. I mean, you guys will get it because you're smart. God is a just God, is he not? Is God the one putting sickness on you? No, we've already established that. The devil is the one who brought sin and sickness into the world. So, who's looking for the judgment on you? Satan's looking for the judgment on you. If you sin, he's got one. He can come up to you. He has now the right to do it. God's a just God and he has to allow him to. Is it his will? Never. It's never God's will for people to be sick. Sickness is not God's will. Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. If it was sometimes God's will to heal, it would have said Jesus went about healing some, not all, and putting some sickness on people to teach them a lesson. Because God was with him. No. Never God's will. Sickness is never God's will. That's good news. It's never God's will. Therefore, it's Satan's will, though, to kill you, to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you in any way that he can. One of the ways he can is to get a judgment against you with sin. It's his way to get a card written out. See, he sinned. Now I have the right. He's the one who put all the stuff on Job. Judge ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11:31. For if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. All right? So, can Satan put something on you if you've judged yourself? How are you going to judge yourself? This message is talking about discerning not. Discerning not several different things. You've got to discern what sin is, first of all, don't you? How are you going to do that? With the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the closer you walk with God, the more sins you're going to find? Things that didn't seem to bother you before. Now God's saying, "Whoop! What is that? It's your turn to judge yourself of that. Get rid of that. Next time, get rid of that. Pretty soon you're walking free of all oppression, free from any judgments that the devil could put on you because you've already judged yourself. Does this make sense? If you judge yourself, then sickness has no right to come on you, and this is good news. The problem is people not knowing that it's sin. And people come in off the street, they get saved. They might not know. They might not know they're not supposed to live together without being married. They might not know that they aren't supposed to drink 8 six-packs a week. They might not know that smoking cigarettes is bad for them. I don't know how they wouldn't know that, but since it's right on the package. It's not written as a sin, though, but these are things that God's going to deal with you on. Once he deals with you on it, then what do? You judge yourself, and you turn from it. It's called repentance, and then you can believe. One of the major hindrances is people not discerning what is sin that's causing them to do something wrong or to have that manifestation of sickness in their life. Does that make sense? All right. Examine himself. Hallelujah. Verse 28, same chapter. 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself. Do you think he's talking about something different now? What are we examining ourselves? For nicks and bruises, brother. No. For sin. What are you examining yourself for? Whether you are in line with the light that you have, whether you're walking in the light as he is in the light. Whether you're doing what you know to do, as revelation comes to you, are you doing that? Examine yourself. If you know you're supposed to be praying in tongues every day and you're not doing it, examine yourself. Judge yourself. You be the judge. You ever heard that? You be the judge of who? Your brother and your sister. No, judge yourself. That's for me too. I have to judge myself. Am I walking in the light that I have? If I am, I'm judging myself and I'm a good judge. Don't get easy on yourself either. Picture yourself up there with the big gavel. Conk. And here comes self. Not you again. How many times you coming into my courtroom? What have you done now? Well, I just haven't been as diligent as... Do we need to be diligent in the word? Well, I haven't been as diligent as I know. I know we're believing for the glory. I know we're pressing in, but I just had to watch 8 hours of football. Now, that's not a sin unless you're supposed to be doing something else. For him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. It would be a sin for me to watch 8 hours of football. I can tell you that right now. See, we'd be sinning together if we did that. It's not sin for everybody. It depends on what degree and how fast you want to run this race. I'm telling you. Right? The farther up you go on that ladder, the farther it is to fall, and the tighter you better hold on to that bugger. Get up on a 1,000-foot ladder. Fall off of there. You are toast. Is this making sense? So let a man examine his neighbor. No. Let a man examine his wife. Let a man examine himself. And I'm going to put something in here, and you'll see it in a minute, to see whether he's in faith or not. And you'll see as we get going here what I mean. What was the first sin? Unbelief. Unbelief's the sin. So you have to examine yourself to see, and we're talking about healing, right? Faith and healing. You have to examine yourself to see if you are in sin or not. The sin of unbelief. Examine yourself to see if you're in faith or not concerning this issue. If you're not in faith, then get the sin out by getting in faith. Does that make sense? Let's read on here a little bit. Hallelujah. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to his neighbor, his wife, his brother, himself. Good. You're drinking damnation to yourself, not discerning the Lord's body. Everybody say, not discerning the Lord's body. Huh. Examine yourself to see if you're discerning the Lord's body. Nobody preaches this. Well, some people do. Where do you think faith comes from? Hearing and hearing the Word of God. So the only way to get unbelief out, which is sin, is to hear the Word of God. Well, if they're not preaching this part of the Word of God, how can you have faith for it? I would hate to be the preacher. Come the end of time and stand before the Lord Jesus Christ with all the sins of his people laid on him because he didn't tell them the truth. Amen. Right? Just gloss over that. I don't think so. Therefore, you're going to get it right now. For this cause, verse 30. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. Wouldn't it be great, Patrick, if we had somewhere in the Bible that specifically told us why so many people were weak and sick and so many of them died? Oh, God, if there was just a piece of scripture somewhere that just told us specifically why so many people were sick and weak and died prematurely. Rich, why didn't he just give us a scripture, one scripture that would tell us? All right, sarcasm enough. For this cause, have we been talking about hindrances to healing? Would you call this a huge hindrance to healing? Obviously, he just said that people are weak and sick and die. And he said, this is the cause. Well, this is the hindrance right here. It's hindering them. What was? Not discerning the Lord's body. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you discerning the Lord's body? Examine yourself. Are you discerning the... What do you mean, brother, discerning the Lord's body? What does that mean? Are you discerning the body? And in specifically here, he said, we were talking about communion, so we've got the blood and the bread. The broken body, and this is what he's talking about. Are you discerning the broken body of Christ? If you're not, when many are weak and sick and die because of this one thing, not discerning the Lord's body and unbelief in what happened in the Lord's body. Discern it in yourself. I can't answer the question for you, but you can say, are you in faith? You can ask yourself, are you in faith concerning the Lord's body? His broken body, that by his stripes you were healed. Sickness was born in his body on the tree. So that you being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by his stripes you were healed. Are you discerning that? And judge yourself whether you're in faith concerning it or not. If you're not in faith, then repent and get in faith. The only way to get in faith is to hear and discern the Lord's body. Glory be to God forever. Unbelief is sin. And if we're not discerning the Lord's body, where are we going to be? In sin and in unbelief. And guess what you get? Many are weak, many are sick, and many die prematurely. People don't want to hear that, but if they died prematurely, they weren't discerning the Lord's body. They may be in heaven. Glory be to God. If I die prematurely, I wasn't discerning the Lord's body and I didn't judge myself, I'm not gonna. Because now I'm gonna discern the Lord's body. If I wasn't before, you see what I'm saying? This is, you know, we gloss over this stuff because we don't want to talk about it. And we don't want to lay judgment on anybody. We don't have to lay judgment on. The judgment is set. The judgment is there. And we have the unjust judge, who is the devil, ready to kick somebody's rear end if they give them the right to do it. So we judge ourselves, and you can judge yourself. Am I in faith concerning the Lord's body and him taking my sickness on himself? If not, judge yourself. Say, Lord, help my unbelief, and then get some tapes that are on healing. Get some word of God on healing and feed it down into you until you can judge yourself and say, now I'm in faith. I'm not in the sin of unbelief anymore. Sickness can't stay on me. It's leaving me now, matter of fact. And I won't die prematurely. Amen. I'll fulfill the number of my days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And yes, that's the way to judge, is by hearing what somebody says out your mouth, out their mouth, and we hear it out our own mouth. You are in faith, whether your head thinks it or not. Faith is of the Spirit. Yeah, that's right. And if you're saying it out your mouth, you're believing it in your heart. Yeah. Bible says so. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. So you've got a measure of faith and it's growing on the inside of you. God's gardening it, springing up and sprouting up. Just keep judging yourself. Keep that sin out. Keep repenting from unbelief. I'm sorry, Father, I wasn't believing you for that. Now I am going to believe you for that. And I will not go bald anymore. Right? Hallelujah. And I will not die prematurely. My goodness, brother, you can believe for all that? Yes, you must now. Came to the wrong church if you want to play patty cake. We're believing for everything. Everything God has, we're believing for it. We're believing for you, too. Everything he has for you. What you can't believe, and we'll get you in there, and then you can repent and say, I'm sorry that I didn't believe it. Glory be to God, right? I'm believing God for what his best plan for you. Why do we want second best? Let's win this race. Totally healed, totally blessed, fulfilling everything God calls us to do. Glory be to God. Judge yourself if you're out of that in any way, shape, or form. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reach, stressed, press forward towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And forgetting those things which are behind, forget them. Who cares? Yeah, but I'm 65 years old. I've lost so much time. Who cares? Moses was 80. He was an idiot for a while too. We've all been there, but what's the key? Judge yourself. Judge yourself, you won't be judged. What if he didn't judge himself? He would have been judged. We've been looking for another Moses. Could have been Bob. His next door neighbor. That would have just changed everything. Yes. Bob wrote the first five books of the Bible. Just doesn't sound as good, does it? Thank God for Moses. Hallelujah. Mo. Woo. All right. Matthew 8:17. You guys are good. Hallelujah. You can't just say these things in some churches, but glory be to God, we're not in some churches. Whatever that means. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Huh. Right there in your Bible, himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. Judge yourself. Are you in faith concerning that? If not, I'm telling you, take that scripture, write it on a card, and just say it. Just say it. And say it, and say it, and say it, and say it, and your spirit man will pick up on it. And it'll grow on the inside of you like a plant. That's how faith works. And eventually you'll have a harvest, and himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. And nobody could beat it out of you with a stick. Or with a sickness stick. And next time, you know, flu season comes around, you just won't participate in it. That's obviously, flu season's not for you. You don't even have the hunting permit for it. You can't catch one. He's tapping you on the shoulder. Oh, you need a permit for that. And Satan doesn't have a permit to give you. He can't, because you've judged yourself. You're not in sin. You're in belief. And it has no right to be on you ever. Himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Christ has, past tense, redeemed us. That would be us, all of us. Every single one in this room, every single one who hears the tape. He's redeemed us, all of us. From what?
The curse.
From the curse of the law. Do you know what's in the curse of the law? Is there any sickness in the curse of the law? A couple sicknesses? Two sicknesses. There's the botch of Egypt. I know, nobody wants that. And something else. Christ has, are you in faith concerning this? If you're in faith concerning this and you judge yourself to be in faith, then the curse of the law cannot come on you. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, being made a curse for us. Christ redeemed us from the curse. He was made a curse for us. How is that? That's the good news. He took your sicknesses so you didn't have to bear them. That's discerning the Lord's body. If we can discern that, you can discern different things. I discern that, brother. Well, why don't you focus on what you're supposed to be discerning? I discern that you might be in sin, Patrick. Oh, brother, so you're discerning the wrong thing. You should be discerning. What did Paul do? He discerned somebody had faith to be healed, didn't he? Jesus did. He discerned that they had faith to be healed. What was he discerning? Sin? He was discerning faith. We're supposed to be wise towards godliness and just ignorant and stupid concerning sin. We overlook the sins of our brothers. Why? Because we love them. Love covers a multitude of sins. It just covers them. And then when they grow up a little bit, then we hit them. No, we show them this stuff that you're supposed to judge yourself. We're not, are we the judges of our brethren? We are not. But we can show them that if you really want to walk in the light as he is in the light, yes, amen, then you judge yourself. Some of those sins are unbelief. It's the biggest one. Are you in faith? And you can't know that right away when you're just a brand new Christian. Nobody told you. But as soon as they tell you, then you become responsible for it. Glory be to God forever. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written. It is written. For it is written. There's nothing more solid than that. It is written. What did Jesus beat the devil off with? With it is written. With it is written. Do you have something that you can beat the devil and his sickness off with? It is written, Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. It is written. God didn't stick that in the middle of this verse for nothing. He's like, I got this extra, it is written. I've got to put it somewhere. And I just throw it and see where it lands. No, he put it there for a reason. It is written. And you use this to beat off the devil if you don't have sin in your life. If you do and he's legally putting it on you because you're in something, well, get out of it, repent, and believe. Repent and believe. Ha ha ha. Glory be to God. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I'm just going to show you one thing here in the curse of the law. If you got a second, go back to Deuteronomy 28 and 58. Wow, there's a lot of verses in Deuteronomy 28. Yeah, and most of them are bad. Most of them you don't want them. And thank you that Jesus Christ redeemed you from those. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. 59, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues of long continuance and sore sicknesses. Are sore sicknesses good?
No.
No, they're sore. And of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Is that bad news? That's bad. This is the curse of the law. If you don't do the law, this is what comes on you. The curse. He said, all the diseases of Egypt. Well, they just came out of Egypt, so they knew those. They were acquainted with the diseases of Egypt, and I don't know what they were. I could probably find out. I don't really want to know what they are. I know they were sicknesses, and they're bad. Because God's using it to say, hey, this is part of the curse. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. That's terrible. Verse 61, also every sickness. Everybody say every sickness. And every plague, which is not written in the book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Now, let me ask you a question. They knew the sicknesses of Egypt, right? So God went from square one. Then he says, and every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of the law, God's going to bring on them. It covers every sickness. Christ has redeemed you, therefore, from every sickness and every disease. There's nothing written. This is why, because, you know, there could be some diseases that the devil didn't figure out yet. Maybe if I mix lupus and malaria together and poor eyesight, see what happens. It's like in his laboratory of evil. But God covered it by saying all sickness and disease that isn't even written in the book. And he listed a whole bunch of them. If you would enjoy looking them up, go for it. They're in the book of the law. They're written there. And everything that's not written in the book of the law is going to be coming on them under the curse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. being made the curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Are you in faith concerning that? Judge yourself, and you won't be judged. There is no judgment to come on you. I get a kick out of this. Do you know the devil tried to kill Jesus? He tried to kill him when he was a baby. He couldn't kill a baby. The devil could not kill a baby. He didn't even know where he was. He knew something was up. Woo! There's angels coming. Angels. Angels. He's looking around. He's trying to find out where this Christ child is born. He's asking Herod the king. He's sending people to figure out where this is, where this child is. You think that he can just come in and kill you? He can't. He has no right. He has no smarts to do it. He doesn't know how to do it. He's been mixing stuff in his evil laboratory for years, and he can't figure out how to do it. Unless you let him. He can't. And then he tried to do it. He tried to get Jesus to kill himself. That's the last straw, brother. I'll take you up to this high mountain. Now, if you just throw yourself off, we could get this over with. It's like, I don't think so. Why don't you throw yourself off there? Jump off yourself. Goodness. Did you get that? He can't put anything on you. He isn't as smart as everybody says he is. He can't do it. He doesn't have the legal right. His only legal right is sin. His other legal right would be Adam's sin, perpetuated on from Adam. Jesus took care of that. He took that sin out. Now you judge yourself for any other sin that may be in your life, particularly the sin of unbelief, which we've been talking about. Judge yourself. Are you in faith that Christ Jesus bore the curse of the law? He bore your sicknesses. He took them away. You're now redeemed. From what? What are you redeemed from? The curse of the law. You're redeemed from sickness and disease. You're redeemed from every sickness and every disease that isn't even written in the curse of the law. Judge yourself. Are you in faith concerning it?
Yes.
Glory be to God. You're more now than ever before. Sickness can't come on me. Why, brother? Why can't sickness come on you? Because Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. For it is written. It is written. It is written. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, and he bore it for me. Therefore, it can't be on me. If you judge yourself, you won't be judged. He has no judgment to put on you. If he could find you, he must be blind. Goodness, the wise men found him there from another country. They followed the star. What's wrong with the devil? What is wrong with him? Shepherds found him. Shepherds. Right, he's asking the wrong people. Obviously, where'd he go? I don't know. Let me mix a teapot around and try to give you some direction from these leaves. He went that way. Brother. Hallelujah. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. So what are you now? If you judge yourself, I'm telling you, if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. If you judge yourself to be redeemed, are you redeemed?
Yes.
Is that the judgment you're making for yourself?
Yes.
Well, that's a pretty good judgment. Nice job. Hallelujah. I judge myself redeemed from the curse of the law. I judge all my sickness to be, we should get those gavels. Sickness try to come on you, just start slapping it a bunch. No. Christ is redeemed. You know what that means? At the moment that that gavel hits, that's why they do it. It's a moment in time. As soon as that gavel hits, whatever the judgment was is sealed and it's done. Court's over. Clink. As soon as you hear that sound, that's why we should get one so the devil hears a lot. Clink, clink, is clinking all over the place. Driving him nuts. Judgment. You will not be judged. Sickness is a judgment that he would like to put on you, but he can't. Because Christ has redeemed you and you've judged yourself as redeemed.
Yes.
Somebody comes up before the Supreme Court and they say, click, you are redeemed. What does that mean? He's got his judgment. Judgment is not just bad, it's good and bad, depending on what side you're on. If you judge yourself, you won't be judged, and it always is good. Don't give yourself a bad judgment. I'm so bad. I'm so bad. Well, then repent. And believe. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right. One more. Actually, two more. John 16, 8. But they're short. Hallelujah. Is this good, people? This is good news. Hallelujah. You know, it wouldn't be nearly as much fun as God told you to go preach the bad news. We wouldn't have nearly as much fun, would we? Well, we get to preach the good news. That's great. Go preach the good news and to all the nations. Must be good news to all the nations then, right? The bad news. Go preach the bad news. That's what some of those prophets had to do. Go poke their finger in their nose and say, "Thus says the Lord, you shall die." That's not a fun message to take to people, is it? God forbid you ever have to do that. Hallelujah. John 16, verse 8. When he is come, he who? He the Holy Ghost. When he, did you know the Holy Ghost is a person?
Yes.
I'd like to run down this trail for about 15 hours. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is a person. When he is come, he will reprove the world of what? Of sin. What's the Holy Ghost going to do? Well, he's holy. So he's going to reprove the world of sin. It's the first thing he does. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Have we been talking about any of these things?
Yes.
Sin, righteousness, and judgment? Yes. Verse 9, of sin, because they what? Believe not on me. What is the sin that the Holy Ghost is going to convict you of? Unbelief on Jesus, who is the Word. We all know that, right? Jesus is the Word. What is sin? Not believing on the Word. What is the one word? What is the one sin the Holy Ghost is going to convict you of? He's going to reprove you of. Sorry. Going to reprove you of unbelief. Now, if the Word somewhere says that you're redeemed from the curse of the law, and you don't believe that, what side are you on? You on the believer side? You got to understand, there's a believer side and a worldly side. The world doesn't believe; the believers believe. Hopefully, we have a lot of unbelieving believers, and that just confuses the whole thing. So we can't go there. Mess with your head. I'm a believer, but I don't believe that. Does that make sense at all? But we're going to judge ourselves to be is a believer. So the Holy Ghost is going to come and judge the world of sin because they believe not on him. Him who? Jesus. He is the Word. It is written. If you don't believe it is written, then that's where the judgment comes. Do you see that? So the Holy Ghost is there to convict the world of not believing the Word, which is His Word. No wonder it's the first thing He does. Sends forth His Word and healed them. If they don't believe it, they don't get healed, and then He has to judge them, or He has to at least reprove them. He reproves them so they what? Come back into faith. But if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. Did you see that at all? Hallelujah. When he is come, glory be to God, he's going to convict the world of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. He's already judged. He can't put sickness on you anymore. Well, why is sickness on me? Well, you're going to have to figure that out by judging yourself. He has no right anymore. None. His right has been taken away. All right. One last verse, Psalms 107, verse 2. Jesus is Lord. I'm going to start with verse 1 because I can, and it begins with a big O. That's got to be good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is terrible. Oh, good. For He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He hath redeemed us from sickness. He hath redeemed us from all sickness not written in the book of the law. So would it be a far stretch for me to say Christ has redeemed me from all sickness that's not even written in the curse of the law? He has already redeemed me. Hath. Should I say something like this? Does the Bible tell me to say something like this? Bible, Psalms 107 verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Judge yourself if you're not in faith concerning any of this, any sickness and any disease that exists in your body, are you in faith? Judge yourself on it. And then, what are you going to say? I am redeemed from that sickness and disease, and you can name it. I am redeemed, and I'm saying that I am redeemed. I say so because I am redeemed from sickness and disease. Now you are no longer in unbelief. You are no longer in the sin of unbelief. You are in faith. Even if that thing tries to hang on to you, too bad. You are in faith. You've judged it as being sin, and now, voila! You can stand in front of God and anybody else. And the devil has nothing to put on you anymore. He can't. He has no legal right. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You that we are redeemed from the curse of the law. We are redeemed from all poverty. We are redeemed from all sickness. We are redeemed from all sickness and disease that is written in the curse and isn't even written in the curse. Sickness and disease has no dominion on us. We are no longer in unbelief concerning this. We are in faith. And from this day forward, we will say so with our mouths, and we'll please You by living in faith and walking in faith and manifesting Your kingdom and Your glory on this earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah.
When shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord? Then shall we grow as we sow and reap from Him.
This message has been brought to you free of charge by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.holyghostsociety.org.